just to recap, we had a chiddush in the Rambam, right? We have, the Gemara has a machlokes, where you start Sipur Yisias Mitzrayim from. The Gemara does not discuss where you end. It's assumed by everyone, Bipashtas, that you should end with leaving Mitzrayim. The Rambam is machadish that there's that we paskin like both, and that there are two ends to the story also. If you assume that the issue is Arami Ovid Avi, which is the issue of Avodah Zarah, starting from Terach, then you have to end the story with Yichud Hashem. You go from Avodah Hashem. If you and that it's the Shibud, then you end off the story with you end up off the story with the actual Yitzia. And the Rambam holds you need both elements in the Seder. So then we went to where the Rambam himself discusses the birth of our nation. I didn't discuss it with you yesterday because it's a long parak. But this whole Rambam is a lead up to Avram Avinu. So yesterday we did not get to Avram Avinu, but yesterday we were able to see the beginnings of Avodah Zarah. The beginning of Avodah Zarah was in the door of Enosh. Enosh was from the Tohim. They basically did an unlawful service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They started doing their own song and dance, being mechabed luminaries, and they were doing it originally as an expression of religion to serve Hashem. They said Hashem probably enjoys these intermediates because he gave them these positions of power. So we're going to build them temples and we're going to focus on them. What ended up happening is these things took a life of their own. And not only did they start serving these stars, but then they started making molten images that were supposed to be representative of those stars. And then they started serving idols. So we started all the way from Hashem. Then we ended up with the sun and the moon and the stars. Then we ended up with representatives that were made as molten images, as psalim. And that's the beginning of idolatry. In general, it's an interesting thing to point out. The Kuzari, the Sefer Kuzari, which was written by Rav Yehuda Halevi, it's the earliest Sefer Hashkafa that we have. It's not so learned, which is a shame. I actually have a chavrusa with one of my daughters in Kuzari. It's a very important Sefer. The Vilna Gaon held that everyone should know Kuzari. And the Kuzari says over there that when he's talking about the Cheda Egel, that Klal Yisrael ended up doing the Cheda Egel, in the defense of Klal Yisrael, he says, you have to understand, it's not that Klal Yisrael liked doing Avodah Zarah. It's that people were trained at that time to look at physical images in terms of serving a deity. There was no concept of just thinking about something invisible. You needed something that was tangible in front of you. And Klal Yisrael really, even over there in the Egel Azav, there are many proofs to his Shita. The Ramban also assumes this way. We're not really trying to do Avodah Zarah, but they were trying to do something to channel the koach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know that the Egel Hazav was connected the shore on the Kiseh HaKavod. And what they were trying to do was zero in on the power of the Kiseh HaKavod of Hashem. And that was the problem. Now, that's tantamount to Avodah Zarah, but that's not Avodah Zarah. But that's not what Hashem wanted us to be doing. There's actually a fascinating question that you could ask. Max, you'll like this. I think we might have mentioned this on a Friday once. You'll tell me. Why was, if it was connected the shore, is there a Shiva there?
Yes.
Rashiva, I think you'll like this very much too. the Maharal in Gur Arya asks a very basic question. He says that why is it an egel that they did if it was connected ashore on the Kisei HaKavod? An egel's a cute little kid, and the shore is a mighty ox. So he says something amazing. He says that when something's in Shamayim, it looks scary, like an ox. But when it trickles down into our world, the way you see it, it looks tiny because it's so far away from its source. So he says that they knew that if you want to have a shore from the all the way in Shamayim, if it's going to be connected to it down here, it's going to look very small, like an ego. And then he says something even more shocking, and this really blew me away. He brings a chazal, that chazal speak in guzmos, in exaggerated terms. Says, what does it mean that chazal exaggerate? You know, I'll give you an example. It says, ha-mistakel be'etzba ktana shel isha, right? Is kilu mistakel be'osamakum. Looking at a pinky of a woman, it sounds like an exaggeration. Calm down. So he says that what it means they speak beguzma is they see things the way they look in Shamayim. So by the time they come down here, they seem like exaggerations. But he says that's the way it works. Things in Shamayim are very, very serious. By the time they come down here, they don't look intimidating at all. And Chazal are able to see things the way they look in Shamayim. It's beautiful. No? Zev, no, it's beautiful. Zev, I can't see you.
Oh,
that's great. Zev, I can't see Zev. Yep. You smiling, Zev? He's on
a different screen.
Oh, now I see him. Zev is Gishmak, no?
Yeah.
Very nice Maharal. Very, very Yisodistic. That the way things work, this is what's called in the Sifrei Mekubalim, Hishtalshalus Olamos, which is that Hashem doesn't create things and just throw them at us. He goes from one Olam to another, where there's an Olam called Atzilus, which is an Olam of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shemos and Elokus, and then there's an Olam of Srafim, Olam Abriya, and then it goes down to Chayas in Olam Yitzira, and then it goes all the way to our world where there are Ophanim, and where we live on planet Earth. That's the Olam Asiya. You can't just throw Shamayim onto people. It's overwhelming. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a system of doing this. So that's why they picked an egel, because an egel is an accurate understanding of what a shore would look like on the Kisei HaKavod if it goes down from all the olamos. If it starts from the Kisei HaKavod and goes down through Bria, down through Yetzira, all the way down to our little world, planet Earth. But again, the Kuzari says a similar point that the Rambam said about what we started over here, that it wasn't, as Avrami said yesterday, Kasher Tziva Hashem. And when something is not Kasher Tziva Hashem, so that's why it's tantamount to Avodah Zarah, because you're basically creating your own system of how to connect to Hashem with physical items. But something the Kuzari adds that's very interesting is he says all of us use physical items to connect to Hashem. He brings the example of beautiful shuls. Why do we have such ornate, our own Kodesh that's so ornate and so beautiful? He writes that it's to focus us in davening, and he says that there is legitimacy to having physical expressions to zero you in your Avodas Hashem. But nevertheless, what the Egel Azav, what was called Kotzeitz Benetias, it was a basically disconnecting from HaKadosh Baruch Hu by focusing too much on the Kisei HaKavod. Okay, so we're here in the Rambam and trying to understand what Avraham was up against. Again, this is part of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm trying to explain why we're doing this to understand what's happening over here. Okay, thank you for this Rambam. I'm going to use the Rambam that I have because I also have one in front of me. And we're basically finished with Halacha Beis. And we're going to be introduced very soon to Avraham Avinu. Here we go. Did the Rosh Yeshiva, am I right that you enjoyed that Maharal?
Very much.
Okay, good. I thought so. Okay.
Thank you.
So now, here's an amazing line in Halacha Beis. V'kevan she'archu hayamim, if you could see where I am. V'kevan she'archu hayamim.
Here.
Nishtaka Hashem ha'nechbad. V'anora mipi kol hayikom. Over here we see that nobody knew who Hashem was anymore, meaning the world had gotten to such a point of deviating, of moving away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that no one had even heard of Hashem. V'nimsu kol ha'am ha'aretz v'nashim v'ktanim inin yodim el etzur shel etz ve'evan. All they knew about was idols. This is how they were raised when they were kids. So it got to the point, this is incredible, somehow Hashem was forgotten. Now, we'll have to understand what happened, because we know there was a yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, right? And we even know that the Avos did connect to that yeshiva. But I guess it seems like from the Rambam that even if there was a yeshiva of Shem Ve'ever, it was batal in a world of total lack of knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we'll see in a second. V'acham shayim kigon ha'komrim, the priests, midam she'en shem elokal kochavim galgalim. They thought there's only the stars now. Here the Rambam is making a reference to Shem Ve'ever. Just Yechidim, Kigon Chanoch, Umitushelach, Vinoach, V'Shem Ve'ever. So you have to say, these yeshivas were not so widespread. Even though we know Avraham is about to make a big revolution in the world, but Shem and Aver's yeshiva was pretty much a private venture and had a din of yechidim, according to the Rambam. It wasn't somewhere that was really influencing the world. Va'al derech zu haya olam misgalu v'holech ad shenolad amudo shel olam hu Avraham Avinu. This is how the world went from Adam Arishan all the way until Avram Avinu. So essentially in Pirkei Avos, this is 20 generations. The world went down, like we said, you know, from Adam Arishan to Noach, to Avram Avinu. The world was, the world had been going down to the point where no one knew there was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kevan shenigmal etan zeh hischil l'shotet b'dayto. V'hu katan v'lechashev b'yom v'layla. Avraham began to search for Hashem. V'hayatmiya hech efshu sh'yeh gavo hazen noeg tamid v'lo yeh lo manig mi yisadev oso. Avraham asked the famous question that the Medrash calls mi bal habira. Can everyone see me? Because I don't know if is my screen okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Mi bal habira, right? Who he saw a bira dolekes. He saw a world that was alive and ticking. He saw a world that was happening. And he was asking who caused all this. Lefishi ifshir shisavivis atmo. Lo haya lo melameid v'lo modia davar. Avraham was the incredible philosopher who had nobody working with him. Elam Mushka Be'ur Kastim Ben Ovdei Avodah Zarah HaTipshim. If you can imagine the revolution of Avraham, Avraham was not exposed, at this point at least, according to the Rambam, to any types of influence of Shem and Aver. Avraham was alone in a terrible, terrible place, surrounded by Avodah Zarah as a child, and he was wandering around and asking questions. He just didn't think it's possible that the world could just go on its own without what's called a prime mover. Avraham believed that something has to cause everything. Now, I want to make an interesting point over here. If you look a little later, when did Avraham conclude that there's a Hashem? So if you skip a little bit, we're going to come back, but it says, Ben Arbaim Shana Hikir Avraham Es Bairo. Avraham was Makir Hashem at the age of 40. Now, if you look in the Ravid, do we have Hasagas HaRavid over here?
Yeah, I got it. Mashgiach sees where it's green.
As long as you can show them, can you show them what the, can someone read the Ravid?
Yeah. Everyone, you want to read?
Hasagas HaRavid Ben Arbaim Shana Hikir Avraham Es Bairo Amar Avraham. Yesh Agada Ben Shalishanim. There's a medrash, I guess, that he was 3. Shenemar Ekev Ashishama Avram Bekoili Minyan Ekev. Yes, the amount of letters in the word Ekev.
I've heard one. Ekev Ashishama Avram Bekoili. I'm not sure. What does that mean, Minyan Akev? I don't know, but I'll tell you that I'm not sure. I don't know what the pshat is over there, if anyone has an idea. But I once heard a beautiful ha'ara on this Ravid, which is, if you look in the Medrash, there are a couple opinions of how old Avraham was. And one of them is 40, and another one is that Avraham was 3. So the question is, what's the machlokas Rambam and Ravid here? The way the Rambam depicts Avraham in his youth is as a young thinker who still didn't figure things out. All of a sudden, the Ravid is masig and says, you should know, it could be there. He doesn't even say for sure Avraham was 3. He just says, you should know that there's a day in the Medrash that he could have been 3. This is a very unusual hasaga, a very unusual machlokas. The item feels the question over here. You hear the question? Usually the Ravid is passing on something more fundamental.
Yeah.
Does anyone want to take a stab at this? Why not? We're learning together. What it could be just technical.
The Rebbe is not chay. The Rebbe is only saying yes. I go to bench all the shonim. Telling the Rambam, don't decide that there's only one shita. I don't know if he's coming as a machlokes. Mashgiach understands he's coming as a chalek.
So that's definitely true, but it's an unusual hasaga. First of all, the same medrash that says that he was 40. The Rambam also had that medrash, and the medrash also over there says he was 3. So something might be going on. Reb Zev is right that there's no hechrech to say there's a machlokas. But I would like to suggest something I heard many years ago. I heard a beautiful pshat in a possible machlokas over here, a fundamental machlokas. The Rambam has a shita in Midrashim that he writes this in his Hakdama Techelek, that you can be machria midrashim based on what you think is the most likely pshat. And the Rambam for some reason held that it's likely that Avraham would be 40. Now, why would the Rambam assume that way? The Rambam understands, the Rambam shita in Emuna is that a person doesn't just believe in Hashem on a simple level, what's called simple faith. But a person has a chiyuv of what's called yediyas Hashem. That the chiyuv to come to in Emuna is a much higher level than just believing in Hashem. The Kuzari and many other Rishonim argue and say that simple faith, basic Emuna Pshuta, that every Baba has with her Tzenerena, is 100% the ideal type of emunah that we have. So if you say that way, it could be Geshmak. It could be that the Ravid held that the Rambam decided that Avraham had to be 40. Why? Because the Rambam Lishitaso wanted a developed person, Ben Arbaim Levina, somebody who really understood the world, to have a real deep faith in Hashem. The Ravid comes and says, no, even a three-year-old could have this emuna that the Torah requires of you. Very beautiful pshat. Again, I don't know if there's a machlokas, but if there is, this is a very geschmack way of explaining why the Rambam picked 40 and why the Ravid as a hasaga is saying, why are you taking the age of 40? Don't you see the other daya in the Medrash? It's not fair to ignore that there's a shita that even a three-year-old can believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu with emunah pshuta. And this is something, Stam, that I remember speaking many times with the Rosh Yeshiva about. The Rosh Yeshiva's there, right? The Rosh Yeshiva's there?
Yeah.
We've talked many times about this. Rosh Yeshiva has spoken to me about this, the importance of building people's emunah pshuta and the idea of simple faith being the way that people make it. Am I correct, Rosh Yeshiva?
100%.
So here's a nice example of this. If this is the pshat in the Ravid, then even a three-year-old can have that connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and even more so. Not just any three-year-old. That means the Eitan HaGadol began his great discovery of HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the age of three.
The Mashkiach. I believe that in the Sefer Mitzvah Pikudecha, I think it's called, Rav Kunstler, he has a maroch, how even according to the Rambam, Emunah Avada starts with Emunah Pshuta. Which is the Rambam holds that a full developed Emunah is Yediya. So the Rambam also understands that the foundation of our Emunah is three. It's just, it's not fully developed until you're 40.
So that would be very magic in the Rambam here, because the Rambam says as a katan, he was really on clearly somebody who knew there was a prime mover. It just wasn't fully developed.
Right. So that he says, how do you become the mitzvah with emunah, the way he understands in the Rambam. But he wanted the mitzvah b'shleimusoi, that's the idea.
Very good. Okay. So then I don't know if this will be work as well, but definitely there's some climax according to the Rambam at 40. It could right. be that according to this mitzvah b'kudecha, you could say that it starts with this more basic emunah that everyone agrees with, and it climaxes at 40.
But Hikir Esboira, the Rambam says, it's only when you have the real...
Total
Hakar.
Right. Beautiful. So then that would be a beautiful shot in the Hikir Esboira. So now I'm going to go back because we just skipped because I just wanted to get that in. So here was little Avram Avinu. V'aviv v'imo v'kol ha'am ovdim avodah zarah v'hu haya ovid imahin. Avram was serving idols. That's what the family did. They went to to the avodah zarah houses. V'libo mishotei t'umevin atshehistik derech emes v'hivin kavatzerek midaito anachona. Avraham proved Hashem logically. Now, it's very interesting. In the Sefer Derech Hashem, is the Sefer that we heard from Rav David Cohn, the Rosh Yeshiva, that the importance of the Sefer. The Sefer is based on our Masorah from Kabbalah, from the Zohar and from the Arizal. But what's very interesting is the Sefer opens with certain ideas in Emunah, which are basically like the Rambam's, like the Yud Gimel Ikrim. And he says that we have these things from Kabbalah, but he says, I want you to know that they can be proven derech chachma, through wisdom. That's very, very interesting. He doesn't tell you how they could be proven through wisdom, but, and then he just continues with what we have from the Chachmei Emes. But it's very important to the Derech Hashem, even a Sefer that's built on Kabbalah, that there's a certain logic to finding Hashem and Yichud Hashem. It's a logical point. And it has to be that way, even if we don't study it. There were, like the Rambam, people who spent a lot of time on this. The Chovas Halvavos has the first beginning of the Chovas Halvavos is Shar Yichud Hashem, which we don't learn anymore. If you look in the introduction of the Feldheim Sefer of Chovas Halvavos, it says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky recommends that people skip Shar Yichud Hashem because it's about proving the unity of Hashem. We don't do that anymore. The Rambam did that. The Chovas Halvavos did that. Other great philosophers did that. We veer from that Mahalach. But even that being said, the Derech Hashem says it's important that you know that you could do such a thing. That it could be proved through Chachma. What I mean is,
we fear from this Mahalach since we're afraid we're going to get stuck, or since we think that the other way is safer, or the other way is the right way to learn it.
I think what ended up happening was that both, meaning even if the Rambam's right, we don't really have a sefer that wrote a Shulchan Aruch on how to do Emunah. You know, I find it humorous, or not humorous, I just feel totally incapable. When people ask me bitachon shailas, for example, and they ask me, is this ishtadlus? I honestly, I mean, guys, we're speaking openly here. I have no idea. I don't have any way to know what's a good, I mean, I have a basic idea, but there's no clear gedarim. There's no shulchan aruch that was ever written on these things. So what I would say is the following. By default, the Rambam's Mahalach definitely was dangerous and was a thorn in the side of Klal Yisrael at many points. So I can't tell you that we paskin against the Rambam, but because of the fact that it was dangerous anyway, we automatically veered towards another Mahalach. I don't know why. It's either because of what you said, because we're paskining, but we really never have a safer Pesach in Emunah. So I don't know. I guess Klal Yisrael, you know, I don't know what to say, but I think it's because of it was dangerous. There was a period, you know, just like we don't learn Mor Nevuchim. I happen to enjoy learning Mor Nevuchim, but the minhag is not to use. We don't learn Mor Nevuchim. We know it exists. We have nothing against it. It's just not part of the. It's not part of what we do because it has to do with philosophy.
What is it?
Yeah. Basically, the idea is if you're going to go with this idea that Emunah's proven, you don't even have to use Jewish sources anymore. You can even open up a book of a great Christian philosopher. If he's saying good, he's saying good. And it's a very dangerous approach. And that's exactly why Aristotle was so important to the Rambam, because Aristotle was a thinker. So if your idea is thinking, so then if someone's very good at that, then you understand what I'm saying. So, but what I'm trying to say in the Derech Hashem is that it's very important to know that it's logical to find Hashem. Why is it so important to know that it's logical, even if we have a Mesorah? If millions of women, men, women, and children were at Har Sinai, why do we need to know that? The answer is because, like Rav Elchanan writes, Rav Elchanan Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Levracha, he points out that why should the Goyim have to follow the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? What's going to make them follow this? Like, where are they going to get this from? And he says that there's a logic to finding God. That even a guy, if he's willing to think, you know, one of the things that I enjoy reading, I have a book that I read before I go to bed sometimes. I don't know where I put it, if I have it for Pesach, but it's called Beyond Reasonable Doubt. And what it has over there in that book is that even the people who wrote all these interesting ideas, wacko ideas about the world being the result of an explosion and evolution, there are even letters, Darwin, who was famous for coming up with this whole concept of evolution. So he himself writes in his own letters that when he looks at the human eye, he begins to shake and doubt all of his life's work because he doesn't understand how the human eye could have been developed through this process. I personally don't understand how a fingernail could have been. And I think Darwin didn't either. But they had a, Darwin writes in his writings that he had an agenda to remove religion from the world. His parents were religious. They were religious Christians. And he had an agenda to remove religion. Religion is a, and science became a way of rebelling against God. It never was that way. It never was that way. It used to be that science was a religious study. And that's why the Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah believes that the study of science is what's called, is on some level, studying Maaseh Breishis and Shayach even Maaseh Merkava, because science is the pursuit of understanding Hashem. What is science? Before all the apikorsis of science, it's just looking at Niflos HaBore and seeing the wonderful world that Hashem created. But even these people, they don't really believe in what they're saying. I mean, if somebody would give you a birthday cake and tell you, a birthday cake is not really a complex organism. A birthday cake is sach hakol, it's made of flour, sugar, chocolate, icing, and then maybe there, even if it's a goyish cake, it's got candles in it. Okay, if someone tells you that that's the result of an explosion, I don't think there's a single scientist who would believe that a birthday cake on the table was the result of an explosion. And yet they're willing to not only believe that one atom or one cell, which has a few billion more complexities than a birthday cake, that they're willing to agree is an explosion. I don't believe they believe it. I think that no one is willing to use their seichel. And that's what the Derech Hashem is saying. And that's what Rav Elchanan Wasserman is saying, that if Goyim will allow themselves to be objective, they would realize that it's absurd. All of these theories with all their mumbo jumbo and all of their great PhDs and traveling around the world and baba 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 and articles and this, it's all mamish tipshus. It's mumbo jumbo. So that's why the Derech Hashem is telling you that you should know that you could know this logically. It's very important. Part of our Mesorah is to know that you could prove the Yichud Hashem logically.
When did this change?
I think it changed during a certain point in medieval times when there was very, very big backlashes during the time with Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam and it had to do with the Mor Nevuchim. And it just got very, the philosophers in medieval times, the Ralbag and others, were controversial. And people were, the Rishonim were not happy with the direction they were taking with philosophy. They felt that they were barking up the wrong tree, interpreting the Torah not the way it was supposed to be. And there was a very big fear that it wouldn't be long before we were mamish going off the deep end. I do believe that the Ralbag had something to do with that, even though we have tremendous respect for the Ralbag, but there was a very big issue over there. With many Rishonim that we don't learn right now, but they existed at the time, and they were going in a way that's not the way we learn, and they were ultimately rejected. This is why you find in many modern circles, they like to find a shita of a Rishon who disagrees with the Rambam, and they think, oh, look, people disagree with the Rambam. So you don't have to follow the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emuna, because the Rambam held one way and this Rishon holds the other way. That's absolutely ridiculous, because just because you lived in the Middle Ages doesn't mean that you're koveya what Klal Yisrael does. Klal Yisrael accepted a certain mahalach. They accepted the Yud Gimel Midas of the Rambam, the Yud Gimel Ikrim, of the Rambam, as who's defined as someone who's on the team and who's defined as an apikoris. They accepted that we're not mechuyev to logically prove Hashem. There are certain things that through time Klal Yisrael accepted as norms, and it wasn't done haphazardly. It was done through the Manhige Hadoris, and that's how we have this. We could care less if there's a Rishon. The Ravid disagrees with the Rambam on some points. It doesn't matter to us. First of all, the Ravid is very upset at the Rambam for saying that if you believe that Hashem has physical properties, you're not Bikoris. The Ravid doesn't hold that Hashem is physical. Chas v'shalom. The Ravid just held it's not fair to some guy who thinks that Hashem has physical features that you can make him an apikoros. The Ravid even uses an attacking lashon. He says people bigger than you held that the Rambam that Hashem had physical features. Now, of course, nobody thinks that way anymore, and the Ravid didn't even hold that way. The Ravid was just attacking. Now it's 100%. If someone believes that Hashem has physical features, he's an apikoros. If he touches your wine and the wine is not mavushal, you can't drink it. That's it. Game over. Again, it's like Zev said, it's hard to know exactly in each area what was accepted for what reason, but that's where we are. Okay, so let's continue here. V'aviv v'ima v'kolam ovdim avodah zarah. V'yad v'shekolam tovim. He knew everyone's making a mistake. Here, the Rambam, and this is why it's important we read from the beginning. Avraham knew, why did people not follow Hashem? Not because of any good reason, simply because they forgot about Hashem. They didn't even know about such a concept. Uben arbaim shana hikir Avram is bayrak. Kevin shehikir v'yada hischil lahashiv tshuva al bnei or kastim v'larav dini mayim. He started making seminars v'lomer and proving to them they're wrong. V'lomer she'inza derech emesh atem holchem ba b'shiber atzlamim. He destroyed the idols. V'hischil odia la'am she'in roi lavod el alelot ka. Ha'olam, we have to serve the Rabbon Shalom. V'lo roi lishtachavos, v'hafru l'naseh, k'idei sh'yakiru kol ha'bruim ha'boim. V'roi la'abed, u'l'shaber kol ha'tzuros, k'idei sh'lo yitu ben kol ha'am, k'mo elu she'in medamin she'en sham, elo ka, elo elu.